1 Samuel chapter 1, if you'll notice verse 20, we'll begin there. Verse 20, the Bible says, "Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." And then verse 24, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. And if you'll look in chapter 2, let's begin reading verse number 11. "And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. The priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he stuck it into the pan or the kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto them, Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod." Now if you notice verse 26, I love this verse about Samuel. "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with man." Let's look at chapter 3 and let's read just a few verses there. Verse number 1. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, because there was no open vision. It came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, that the eyes his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. That ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I." Let's look at verses 19 of the same chapter. It says this, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan unto Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again unto Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'd ask, Lord, that you'd help me as I preach tonight. Lord, I feel like the subject matter is of such importance. Lord, we are, I think, directed by you to spend some time on this. Lord, we ask God for wisdom and grace and help and strength. And Lord, also we ask, please, Lord, a divine protection for our young people. Lord, I think of the potential of our young people here at the church. And Lord, I know that Satan senses that, knows that, and it seems like the attacks are great and constant and the world alluring. And Lord, it seems like Satan's good at pulling out the stops and trying every dirty trick in the book, trying to get some of our young people distracted from the will of God. I pray that you'd help us as a church, as parents, grandparents, Lord, and maybe as a church body to know how we can help them, Lord, as they face some things growing up, that we would, Lord, be able to have the wisdom of God, Lord, in assisting them and helping them and encouraging them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the subject of peer pressure, And we've got our young people here. I've spoken to them not too long ago. I spoke to them in chapel here at the school along these same lines. I want to reinforce and go a little bit further into what I covered with them, and I want to do it with the whole church. Let me say this. Peer pressure in a life of a young person is a very, very real thing. If you think it's non-existent, then you just don't understand, or you've forgotten what it's like to be a teenager and a young person. This starts way early in life, even into the elementary years. And peer pressure. What's it, preacher? What is peer pressure? Well, I heard Lonnie Mattingly say this. He said, "I think peer pressure is really just fear pressure." And there's something to that. Peer pressure is fear pressure, the fear of isolation, the fear of ridicule, the fear of disappointing somebody, maybe the fear of losing a friend, the fear of being different from the group. And so the Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, I want you to really hear that verse. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Now, think about that. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So, young people, let me help you right off the bat here, and let me maybe give you some ammunition, parents, to help your young people. But one of the choices you have to make early on sometime in life is this. Are you going to spend your life in fear of what man thinks, or are you going to spend your life trusting the Lord? Because this verse makes it a very clear-cut decision. If you fear men, and you're always worried about what men think, then you know what? That's going to bring constant snares into your life. You're going to be constantly caught, easily caught. But the Bible says, whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So here it is. Do you want a snare or do you want safety? Do you want a snare or do you want safety? Now, at some point, what you've got to do is you've got to put your trust in the Lord. I want to talk to you about this matter of peer pressure in the light of the story of Samuel. Let me kind of build this scenario and talk to you a little bit about what Samuel faced from an early age on. You know, here, you remember the story. Hannah wanted a child, and she prayed unto the Lord. And God answered that prayer and miraculously gave her a son to be able to have and a son to be able to raise. What a wonderful story. Perseverance, praying through, God blessing, God answering that prayer. This is a miracle child. And let me say this. I believe Samuel, from the youngest of ages, heard that story. I don't think his mom kept it a secret. I think she shared it with him. I think that he knew that he was a direct answer of her prayers. I think that he knew that he was gifted back to God. And I say this from time to time. I'm not going to come to you. You know what? It's your decision. But I believe that parents, and we've gotten away from it around here, I believe parents ought to bring their children from the moment they're born, the first service that they get here, soon after. They need to bring them to an altar. They need to publicly dedicate them to the Lord. Then you need to let that child know that. I mean, from the earliest of ages, you ought to tell the story about how you carried them up to the front of the church and publicly you dedicated them, their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, their life to God's service. I think that they ought to know that. That'll just be one of the stories they hear over and over. I know, Dad, you've told me, well, guess what? I'm going to tell you again. You know why? Because it's important. You know why? Because we prayed for you before you were even conceived. And we prayed for you and gave you to God before he ever gave you to us. And from the first time that we could bring you into God's house, we went before the people of God and we went to the man of God and we said, we want you to pray with us because we're dedicating our child to the Lord. Let me just say this. And I'm not saying it's rampant here. I don't think it is. But I'm out and about and I see some things. And there's too many Christian parents that are raising their children for themselves. They're not raising them for the Lord. They're raising them for themselves. And let me say this. Children are lent to us. But they belong to God. And we must never forget that. Our job is to take the years that we have them and to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and do the best we can to prepare them to serve the Lord. I'm not saying everyone's going to go and be an evangelist or a missionary, and I'm not saying everyone will be in full-time service, but everyone ought to serve the Lord. Everyone ought to know that that's why God placed them on this earth, that there's a divine purpose for their life, that they are a gift from God, and we ought to keep that before them. And I think Hannah kept that before Eli. I'm sorry, before Samuel. Now, I want you to think about the circumstances. This seems like the best of the best of the best of circumstances, probably from Hannah's standpoint. She made a promise. She made a vow. So she brought this baby boy. Once he was weaned, she brought this young child to the house of the Lord and literally gave him to Eli to be raised there in the house of the Lord. Now, when I tell you to dedicate your children, I don't want you to take it this far. Please don't bring your children. I know there's times, mothers, you want to bring your children to the church. Just walk in my office and say, "Here, preacher, God told me that you're supposed to raise them." But you're not going to get by with that, all right? I'll keep them a while, and I'll spoil them, and they'll go back to you worse than you brought them. But I'm kind of in full grandpa mode. No, I'm not in the daddy mode anymore. I'm in full grandpa mode, so it wouldn't even be a good thing for you to bring your children to me for very long. I'll probably ruin them. But no, but she did that, but now think about this though. I want you to think about the circumstances that Samuel was brought into, because he was brought into a situation where, yes, it looked good because he was going to the house of the Lord. It looks good because he was being entrusted to Eli the priest. But Eli's boys were wicked. Were wicked. You know, they were. So all of a sudden now, you've got an impressionable young man. And yes, you want to put him under the influence of a man of God, but closer to him in age. Now you think about this. Most boys are more easily influenced by maybe an older teenager than they would be, if they're not careful, an older man of God. And they were in the mix here. They were part of this situation. It would have been very easy for Samuel to put his eyes upon them and begin to follow their ways than it would be for him to be, as a young boy, focused on following Eli and the ways of the Lord. But you see some things that I think was put into Samuel by Hannah, and that I think reinforced by Eli, that caused him to make some wise decisions. They got him busy in some activities, and they put some emphasis in his life that I think really helped proof him, peer pressure proof this young man. And I want to present those principles to you tonight. Now, young people, listen to me. You're gonna have to set your eyes on somebody and make them the person that has influence and sway in your life. And I'm going to try to help you, and I'm going to try to help your parents, and I'm going to try to encourage you. But you know what? You need to keep your eyes on the right people. You need to make sure that you allow the right folks to influence you. If you're not careful, you can get your eyes. Listen, if your hero doesn't even go to church, then why is he your hero? Why? No, I'm sorry. Why is he? Well, he's my. I don't care what he is. Why is he your hero? Now, wait a minute. You need to put your eyes on the right people. You need to start letting yourself be molded and mentored by people who are serving God, not influenced by people that are constantly, by life and lip, tearing down the things of the Lord. So you got to be careful who you fall under the influence of. I don't care if you're 6 or 16 or 26. You got to be careful of who you begin to allow to influence you and have sway in your life. And so let me just give you some things that I think we see that jumps out of this story. Here's a young man that could have easily been influenced by some slick, carnal, wicked young men that are a little bit older than him. But you know what? He was taught some things, I think, by his mama. And he listened to his mama. And he listened to his daddy. And he listened to the man of God. He listened to the priest, Eli, the high priest. And he kept himself focused in the right things, in the right direction. And I want to share those things with you tonight. And I want to give you young people some things. And I'm going to hopefully, along that lines, give you some things as us as adults, some things to help remind you of and reinforce in your life. I think as parents, one of the things that we need to teach our children, and I'm gonna state it this way, but we need to help them to differentiate between those who pray for them and those who pray on them. Those who pray for them and those that pray on them. In your life, young people, you need to begin to have something and develop something early on called discernment. You need to have some discernment. And you have to, listen, you say, oh, Brother Jerry, you're going to teach these young people that they need to go around putting people in categories. Yep. Sorry, yep. Well, you're teaching them to judge. Well, why don't you study that word out and then come back and talk to me? Ding dong. Yeah, I get so tired of that. Oh, you're judging. Well, good night, folks. Read the Bible. There's a whole book called Judges. If it was wrong to judge, then God set up a bunch of men to do something wrong. No, you know what? The book of Proverbs is filled with descriptions to help you to understand the characteristics of the foolish person, the characteristics of a scorner. And you are told and commanded to know how to identify them and to keep yourself away from them, because if not, they'll influence you and you'll become like them. Please listen to this preacher. Please listen to this preacher. Now, what I'm saying is this. You've got to learn to draw some lines. You've got to learn to put people, listen, here are the people that genuinely pray for me and are concerned for me and want me to serve God and are trying to help me get to God and trying to help me fulfill God's will. And here are people that do not pray for me. They pray, P-R-E-Y, they pray on me. In other words, listen, there's a lot of people that don't want you to serve the Lord. I'm shocking, isn't it? And they're not all out in the world. Some of them are right in the church house. I'm telling you, you've got to have some sense. You've got to have a radar. You've got to figure some things out. Now, there's people that want you to serve God, but they want to be that God. They don't want you to serve God. They want you to serve a little God. They're not against you following somebody. They just want it to be them. They don't want it to be your parents. They don't want it to be your pastor. They don't want it to be God Almighty or God's will. They want to collect a little group of rebels that they can then control and have, because it makes them feel important that they've got this little following. Now, they're praying on you. They're not praying for you. Hey, Samuel, who prays for you? My mama prays for me. Then you listen to her. Who prays for you? Eli prays for me. Then you listen to him. Who prays on other people? Well, Hophni and Phinehas do. They take advantage of people. They're selfish. They're self-centered. They like a position and they like importance, but they want to turn it into something that feeds their own selfishness. Well, boy, isn't it amazing that somehow this boy at a very young age was able to figure that out? I think he just grew up hearing his mama pray for him. I think he grew up hearing Samuel pray for him. I think, listen, one of the things that I want to share with you, and I want to give this to you, and listen, folks, I understand none of us are perfect, and I've never tried to set that up. If the standard was perfection, if you have to be perfect or you can't raise decent kids, then none of us could ever raise decent kids. But you know what? Your children need to see real Christianity in your home. Not this play. I'm just throwing it out there. You come to church and play the game, put on the hypocritical act, and then at home you're a totally different person. You know what? They're going to know it. They're going to see it, and it is not going to pan out. They aren't going to buy it. Sooner or later, they're going to run from that as fast as they can. You have got to be what you're supposed to be. Listen, if you can't find motivation to get right with God and stay right with God from any other place, you ought to find it in those little ones that God's given you to raise. And be what you're supposed to be, not just at the church house. Be what you're supposed to be at home. Because here's the thing. He, for the short time that he was under the influence of his mom and dad, he saw real Christianity. And I know Eli had his shortcomings, and we could talk about that. But I think Eli was a man of a sincere heart. And he was a high priest. But you know what? Samuel had the right examples and real Christianity to observe. And because of that, it made the fake stuff really jump out at him. Okay? Now again, I'm not talking about being super Christian. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about being real. I'm talking about your children ought to see you reading the Bible. I'm talking about the children. Your children ought to hear you talking about the things of the Lord. Your children ought to hear you. And you ought to be praying at the table, and you ought to be talking about the things of the Lord. And you know what? I mean, God ought to be a natural part of your conversation, a natural part of what's going on. I'm not talking about fake spirituality. I'm just talking about it's real. Amen. Things of the Lord are real. Bible principles are real. Let me plead with you about this. But your children need to hear you talk positively about the church house, and positively about the ministries that you're involved in, and positively about the things that are going on at the house of God. Listen, folks, you know what? Here's the thing. If they don't have a litmus test, if they do not have an example of what real Christianity is, strong in the home, then they're not going to see the difference between that and fake. And they need that. They need that example in the home. And I think that he had that. Samuel was able to say, pretty early on, these people are real. These people know God. These people love me. These people pray for me. These people want what's best for me. And these folks over here, you know what? They just use people, abuse people, then lose people. You know what? I'm not following them. I'm sticking with the ones that are real Christians. It's the real deal. Okay? So the first thing is to teach your children that. Do you want them to have a snare or safety? Young person, do you want to live a life where you're constantly ensnared, or do you want to live a life of safety? I believe it's important. Let me just throw this out. Some of you young people, the minute, I promise you this is true, the minute a peer's opinion means more to you than the opinion of your parents and your pastor, you are in grave danger. The minute that some peer's opinion means more to you than the opinion of your parents or your pastor, you're in grave danger. Now, Samuel knew his mother prayed for him. I believe Samuel heard Eli pray. Samuel never saw Hophni and Phinehas pray. Now, come on. I'm just appealing to you young people. Who's your heroes? Come on, who's your heroes? Who's the people you look up to? Come on, do they even have a spiritual pulse? You've got to be careful whose influence that you've come under. He never saw Hophni and Phinehas pray, but he did watch them pray, P-R-E-Y, on others. And so we got to teach our young people the difference. Now, let me give you this also. In chapter 1 and verse number 28, there's a beautiful little statement there at the end of the verse. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. Notice this, and he worshiped the Lord there. This is a young child. The Bible said, for this child I prayed, verse 27. He brought him as a child when she was weaned. But you know what? Even as a child, he'd already been taught, he'd already been trained to worship the Lord. I want to encourage you as parents, from the youngest of ages, you need to help your children begin to develop a personal relationship with God. A personal relationship with God. Man, I'm sold on this. I'm big on this. I believe in this. I think that sometimes what we do, and I understand when the children's little, you know what, you need to pray with them and you need to read the Bible for them and with them, and I'm not against that continues. But you also at some point need them to develop their own personal walk with God. Their own personal walk with God. That needs to be trained. Because I'm afraid some kids, they grow up listening to their mom and dad pray and read the Bible, and they know that mom and dad know God, but they don't know God. They really have never developed a personal relationship with God. And he knew how to worship God. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. You know, one of the things that God states early on, way back in the Ten Commandments, God, when it comes to worship, God's a very jealous God, and rightfully so. You realize that nobody in your life deserves or is allowed to have, in God's eyes, any worship except him. Young people, let me tell you what some of you are doing. You're picking wrong examples, you're picking wrong people, and you literally are worshiping them. We have an entire generation that are worshiping Hollywood's. I'm trying to pick the right word here, not be inappropriate. But there ain't no too much good to say here. They worship athletes. They worship people that they don't have any business. I mean, they worship them. I mean, you know, good night. You walk into some teenager's rooms and you look just on the posters on the wall. Come on, what else do you want to call it? You've got your graven images. Where's your Bible? How come all you do is talk gloriously about them, but you don't have anything but critical to say about your preacher, about your parents, about your mom, about your dad, about godly people? Come on. If we're not careful, we're worshiping. We start worshiping people. We start putting people up in a place they're never supposed to be. They taught Samuel to worship God. And that God only deserves worship. God only deserves worship. And so we need to be very careful about that. A wrong influence does not want you to seek God. I've already said this, but I'm going to say it again. They do not want you to seek God. They want to become your God. And that's really what it boils down to. Why would it bother somebody in your life, bother them, that you would develop a close relationship with God? Why? Because they want to have that position in your life. And so be careful. Now, let's do this. Parents, let me help you out here a lot. Read the Bible to your children. You know what? Have devotions with your children. But at some point, early on, they need to learn to walk with the Lord. They need to develop a personal relationship with God. I tell this story, and bless my heart. But we taught our girls to have a time of devotion on their own. And I think that that's important. They need to develop a Bible reading schedule. They need to know, and they're not going to know what to do if you don't teach them how to do it. You've got to show them how to do it. You've got to instruct them how to do it. And then they had their prayer time. And you know what? That was part of their morning routine. I remember when Tabitha, for a while, she shared a room. Well, quite a while, she shared a room with Hannah, and they shared bunk beds. And I remember one night, I don't know how old Tabitha was. She was probably maybe 8 or 9 years old. And she'd went to bed, but she had a cough. She'd developed a cough. And we were up, and she's already gone to bed, and she's trying to sleep, and she's sleeping, but she keeps coughing and coughing and coughing, and she's sleeping, but then she'd wake up and cough. And we finally got ready to go to bed, and I told Cheryl, you know what, I think I'm going to go in there and give her a little bit more cough medicine, and because she's not going to sleep well like that. So I went in there, and she has on the top bunk. Now, her top bunk, she's not here, so I can tell all this on her, okay? So she used to hate it when she was here, and I'd tell illustrations about her, but she's not here, so amen. Tabitha didn't have a top bunk. She had like this a little apartment. I mean, like all of her, I don't even know how she really had room to sleep up there. She had, it was like her little world up there, her little apartment up there. She had a library. She had a living room. I think there might have been a microwave up there. I'm not sure. But stuffed animals, so many stuffed animals. Sometimes I'd try to wake her up, and I was waking, you know, Winnie the Pooh up instead and trying to find her in the dark. And, I mean, just all of her stuff. Well, one of the things that what I would do every morning is when I, me or Cheryl, a lot of times I would do it, I'd go through and wake the girls up first thing in the morning and get them up and, hey, it's time to get ready for school, whatever. And so what she would do is she'd get up and she'd flip her light on up by her bed, and then she'd always reach over and get her Bible, and the first thing she'd do before she'd even climb out of her bunk is have her Bible time. Well, I went in there and didn't even think about this, and I started waking her up to give her this cough medicine. And I said, Tabitha, you need to wake up. Tabitha, wake up. She was kind of out of it, you know, just got to sleep. So before I tell her what I was doing, she finally kind of looked up, looked at me, reached over, turned her light on, reached over and got her Bible and started doing her devotions, you know. And I'm like, Tabitha, it's just 11 o'clock. I said, I just want to give you some medicine. Oh, okay. And I give her medicine, and she rolled over. Oh, I miss those days. Why did we let her grow up? Man alive. Folks, listen, you got kids. Squeeze them every day just as hard as you can. And try to keep them little, all right? Because, man, just squeeze them hard, because if you don't, they grow up on you. And even if you do, they still grow up on you. But you'll have fun squeezing them, amen? And I remember that so distinctly. I remember giving her medicine, and then she went, fell back right back asleep. And I remember kneeling down in her room and saying, God, I pray
that her whole life, when she wakes up, the first thing she'll do is reach for the Bible. Amen. Now, it's okay if that's my life, but if all she knows is seeing me do it, how's she going to develop it for herself? Samuel, as a young child, knew God, worshiped God. God was real. He wasn't just something that Mama talked about. He became real in their life. I think probably one of the biggest obstacles and what makes it so, makes some of our young people so susceptible to peer pressure is because you don't have a relationship with God. If you don't have a meaningful person, I'm not talking about mom's relationship, dad's relationship, your preacher's relationship. If you do not have a daily working relationship with God, you are going to be so susceptible to wrong influence in your life. If you worship God and you understand He's the only one that deserves worship, you're not going to be worshiping somebody else. You're not going to give the God place in your life to somebody else. And so here he is, from a child worshiping the Lord. Now, let me have you read, look at chapter 2, verse number 11. I'm going to move on here. Chapter 2, verse number 11. It says, Elkanah went to Ramah to his house. Notice this. And the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now, let me give you this. I want you young men to listen to me, young ladies listen to me, and parents, please, let me just give you this Bible principle, and I hope you understand it. I'm not trying to misrepresent. I'm not trying to take advantage of a Bible principle. I'm telling you it's true. But I think one of the reasons that Samuel turned out to be a great prophet instead of just another rebel in the house of Eli is because he stayed close and had a close relationship to the man of God. Now listen to me very carefully. Samuel had to choose between his peers and his mentor. And at some point, you're going to have to choose between your peers and your mentor. You're going to have to choose. I'm no better than anybody else in this room. I mean that. If anybody knows that, this guy knows that. But I also know that God's given me a very, very important position of responsibility. And I also take that very seriously. Young people that I have watched struggle are young people that I believe in their lives, the relationship with their pastor was undermined by somebody. And I'm not, I mentioned in the last point that I mentioned before I hit this one, you know that I don't want worship. You know I don't want a God position in anybody's life. But children need a man of God. Children need a pastor. Children need a preacher. And I plead with you. I plead with you and plead with you and plead with you. Listen, if you're upset with me about something, you come and talk to me about it and let's work it out. But do not criticize your preacher in front of your children. Don't run down your preacher. I'm not saying it for me. I got thick skin and you know what? I'll be fine. Okay? I mean, if I was that thin skinned, I'd have been out of the ministry a long time ago. It's not hurting me. It's hurting them. Because you know what? Pretty soon they're going to stop listening to this preacher if they lose respect for him. They're going to stop letting you, well, yeah, but you're not perfect. Well, good night. I could have told you that. What an astute observation. Yeah, but you did this wrong. Well, bring your list. I'll give you some more things to put on the list. I know me better than you do. I'm sure I can add a lot of other shortcomings. Come on. Get off of it. Get past your insecurities. Understand that a pastor is not sent to compete with you. A pastor is sent to assist you, to help you. I'm not trying to take your position. I'm telling you, listen, I think Dad would agree with this. The young people that have been the most successful, the young people that have struggled the least in their teenage years were the young people that had a good relationship with their pastor and a good relationship with their preacher. And I will not take advantage of that. I promise you I won't take advantage of that. But they need a pastor. They need a pastor. And so encourage that. I think Samuel had to choose. He's seen Eli and he's seen the boys. And you know what he did? He said, I'm sticking with the man of God. Now, you know, young people, some of you right now in our Christian school, you're choosing between spiritual leadership and carnal peers. And you can huff and puff and you can text away and you can email and you can talk and you can get on the phone and you can do all that stuff, but you're just hurting yourself. Okay? I'm telling you, Give me that young person. I'll put my money on that young person that says, okay, you guys want to be a bunch of knuckleheads, go be a bunch of knuckleheads. But you know what? God's given us some teachers, and God's given us a preacher, and God's given us some assistant pastor, and God's given us some godly people around here. And you know what? I'm more worried about what they think than what y'all think. And I'm going to stick with them. Now, well, let me help you grow up. Brother Jared, why am I struggling? So let me help you grow up. You know why you're struggling so much? It's because you spend way too much time with kids your own age. I'm going to say it again. You spend way too much time with kids your own age. How are you going to develop into what you want to be if you're with a bunch of people that aren't that? I mean, it's just common sense stuff. If I when I decided I wanted to be a man of God, you know what I did? I went and found men of God. I spent time around people that were where I wanted to be one of these days. I'm not going to spend time with a bunch of people that not only aren't there but don't want to go there. How in the world is that going to help me? So you know, and I'm not talking about just your preacher. I'm talking about, buddy, if I'm a young man in this church, I'm looking around and I'm figuring out who the godly men are. You know, here you go. By the way, teenagers are good at this. They got a hypocrisy radar. It ain't going to take them long to figure out. They already know. They already know who the fakes are in the church and the ones that are real. Sorry, put your little mask on, but you ain't fooling the teenagers around here. No, I work with them too long. I'm telling you, you're not fooling no teenagers around here. You know what? Those teenage girls, ladies, are you listening to me? You know, that work back there in that nursery? They didn't have to work in there 2 months, and they figured out by rotating in and out which one of you ladies are real and what some of you ladies that are just playing the game. But what I'm saying is this, young people, you find godly, I didn't say perfect, you find godly people, and you say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to hitch my star to some people that are going the direction I'm going and are heading the way I'm going to head and are what I want to be. And buddy, I'd spend every bit of time around them. This whole thing about, oh, I don't have any friends. 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 Oh, I don't want a friend. You know what you're saying? Is I don't have any peers. I don't have any people that are as knuckleheaded as I am. So I'm going to go find. And you know what? If you get into that mode, you'll sell out some things to have some friends that you should never sell out. Hey, you know what? I'll be your friend. There's some men of God around here be your friend. There's some women of God around here be you young ladies' friends. Come on, what do you mean you don't have any friends? You know, what I'd say is this. I'd say, hey, I wouldn't be so much worried about how many of my peers I could collect. I'd worry about how many strong relationships I could build with people who are already headed way down the road towards where I want to one day be. And so stay close. Here we saw that Samuel made a definite choice here. Because you notice this. In verse 11 it says, the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Then the next verse, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. You know what? He knew what they were. He chose Eli. And when you get down here in verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. What's the next word in verse 18? That's exactly right. You know what? Samuel knew it too. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. You know what? These young men chose this. But Samuel purposely chose this. And so that's a would be such a help to you. Listen, young people, I can give you this. But you ought to spend your life, and we're going to get to this point here in a second. Look at verse 26. I'll go ahead and give it to you. And the child Samuel grew on, was in favor with the Lord, and also with what? Boys? Punks? No, I didn't say that. It said with men. Here this young child already said, I'm going to associate with men. I'm going to associate with men who are where I want to be one of these days. Now, let me give you this. I would be a lot more worried about whether or not I'm in favor with God and in favor with men of integrity than whether or not I was in favor with the local group of knuckleheads. Okay? Get off this popularity thing. If you want to be popular, be worried about being popular with God. If you want to be popular, think about this. Do you, as a young man, have the respect of godly, mature men? Do you have their respect? Do they look at you and they say, you know what, that kid's squared away. That kid's on the right path. I mean, if I'm 13, 14, 15, 16, the wise young person in that age group is more worried about what godly men think about him than he does what ungodly peers think about him. I'm not saying that you can't have good friends. I'm not saying you can't have good Christian friends. But you know what? The honest truth is you ought to spend the majority of your time with people who are where you're already headed. Now, verse number 11 says the child did minister unto the Lord. Verse number 18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord. Let me give you this thought also. Young people, during your growing up years, one of the things that will proof you from the wrong peer pressure is this. Stay busy serving God. Now, stay busy serving God. Parents, listen to me. Let's construct our young people's schedule so that it's filled with a lot of good, positive opportunities to serve the Lord. Keep them involved. Keep them involved. Keep them involved. I like it, and I think this is true, Blessed Old Bachelor. I think we got a good track record here. But our young people, from the time they get into the youth group, and even before, thank you, parents. Thank you for those of you that are in nursing homes and you take your little children with you. Thank you for those of you on bus routes and you take your children with you. I love it to see children growing up just serving God. And by the way, don't let them just sit. Give them a job. I don't care if it's at the, you know, twice during the bus ride home, they take the trash can around and let it. Get them used to doing something for the Lord. Get them busy serving the Lord. Help them to grow up knowing what it is to serve the Lord. What I found out is this. Young people that have early on develop a heart for ministry tend to really stay right with the Lord. You know why? Because they learn pretty early that if God's going to bless the bus route, if God's going to bless our nursing home, if God's going to bless what we're going to do, then I've got to be right with God. And if I get wrong with God, then I'm going to lose the blessings of God. And those bus kids are worth it, and those people in the nursing home are worth it. Whatever ministry I'm in, keep your young people busy serving the Lord. And get them right in the middle of it. Whatever we have here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that's for your age kid, man, I'd have them there. I'd have them involved in everything. You mean everything? I mean everything. I'd have them plugged into every single thing that I possibly humanly could because I want them to grow up to serve the Lord. Now, let me show you quickly at the end here because you say, well, Brother Jerry, is all this worth it? I mean, come on. Is it really that big a deal that Samuel made these decisions? Let me reread to you verse 19 of chapter 3 and on down. Let's just reread that. Watch this now. What was the result of Samuel making these decisions? This is it. Guess what? He didn't stay a child, did he? Notice it kept saying the child, the child, the child, the child, and all of a sudden look at verse 19. And Samuel grew. Notice this. And the Lord was with him. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. For all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again unto Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. And the reward of not giving in, not surrendering, not embracing the weakness of peer pressure, not giving in to that, the reward is that you will be funneled into, by your wise decisions, you will be funneled into finding God's perfect will for your life. You may not be a preacher, you may not be a prophet of all Israel, but God will train you and have you ready to go into a specific area of service where you can be successful. All right? Now, let's flip the coin. What about the rest of the guys? All right? Let's look at verse number 10. Let's see the end of the wrong decision. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. Chapter 4, verse 10, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Did you get that? Were slain. Now, this is what I want to encourage you young people to do. Understand this. You know, well, Brother Jerry, but Hophni and Phinehas, man, they're getting the best of the meat. I mean, buddy, they're carnal, but boy, look at that. They go over to the pots, and you know what? They're the big shots, and they say, no, we're not going to wait till it's sodden. We want what our flesh wants now. And you know what? Boy, did you hear what they pulled off at the gates? I mean, man, they were big amongst the women. And you know what? They were powerful. They say, you give it to us or we'll force it. You know, hey, you know what? All that stuff may look really, really cool when you're like 14, 15. But you know what you need to do? You need to hit the fast forward button. And you need to spring forward about 10 years. You know what? 10 years forward, let me tell you where Hophni and Phinehas were. They were in an early grave. They were worshipers of Belial, and I'm sorry, but they were probably burning in hell. And where's Samuel? Samuel has the respect of all of Israel. Samuel has the presence of the Lord in his life. Samuel is being used as what I believe, my own opinion, one of the greatest prophets, if not the greatest prophet that Israel ever had. And so, you have to choose. But, you know, that's why in the book of Proverbs, it encourages us to consider their end. Because before you decide that just because some kid around here is 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and he's living in rebellion against God, and it seems like he's got the world by the tail, and you're tempted to follow that, understand this. He won't always be 20, 21, 22. And he's going to blink a couple of times, and he's going to be 30-something. And you know what? He's going to start reaping all of that seed that he sowed. Well, I'm going to go sow my wild oats. Well, that means you're going to reap wild oats. And you're going to reap them a long time. And so don't consider where they're at. Consider what's going to happen down the road. Now, Samuel, he just said, you know what? Boy, I admire this. A young boy, teenage influence, or young, I don't know how old they were exactly, but older teenage influence. Been so easy to just follow them and tag along and think they were the greatest thing. And man, I don't know what that mama did while she was at home, but boy, she put some things in that boy. And she taught him right. And I think I can almost see her when she dropped him off. Now, you listen to me. I'm not going to be critical, but there's some boys, some sons of Eli that are the wrong kind of young men. You know what? You need to stay clear of them. You need to get yourself right beside Eli, and wherever he goes, you shadow him. Wherever he does, you listen to him. And you serve the Lord. Are you listening to me, young man? You serve the Lord. And if you've got that kind of mama, you got that kind of daddy giving you that kind of instruction, don't you bristle against it. Don't you decide you know better than that. Man alive, you ought to get on your knees every night and thank God that God gave you some godly parents that want the best possible thing for you. And man alive, how many, and I'm done, but how many young people in their middle 30s say, you know what, I'm so glad that I set the right kind of heroes in my life and followed the right kind of examples in my life. But how many young people in their 30s say, oh my goodness sakes, you know, I was doing so well for a while, and then I got off track, and I decided it was more important to impress this little group here than it was to serve the Lord. And so how in the world did I get here? And what a mess I've made of my life. And so take these things. Young people, don't give in to fear pressure. Yeah, but they call me names. Eh, so what? Big deal. Woo, they called you a name. Oh, wow, come on. Big deal. I mean, come on. Get over it. You got to be stronger than that. Come on. Yeah, well, they won't be my friends. They're not your friends anyway. They're not your friends anyway. If they were your friends, they wouldn't be your friend. Come on. Well, Brother Jerry, I feel like I'm alone. Well, you know what? Graduate up. You know what? Spend your time around the right kind of people. Pick an older group to hang around that's got themselves squared away a little bit. And just see what the Lord does with your life. Heavenly Father, I would ask God that you take these truths, and you would, Lord, please marry these truths into our lives. I pray, God, that you would help us to help to guide our young people in the right direction. Many of our young men, young ladies, they're at a very pivotal time in their life, and Lord, I pray that you would help them. There is such a thing. It's not an imaginary thing. Peer pressure is real. Sometimes it seems a bit overwhelming to a young person, and maybe from time to time they just need a preacher to get up and give them some Bible principles and a little pep talk and say, listen, it's not worth it. Short term, it's not worth the long-term damage it's going to do in your life. And don't worry about whether or not that group thinks much of you or not. Just stay on the right path. God will reward you. God will bless you so much. And, Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, there's so much potential in our young people. There's so much potential in our Christian school, in our youth group, in our Master's Club kids. Good night. There's so much potential. Lord, don't let Satan steal that and rob that from them. We pray these things in Jesus' name.